We're starting a new series today, and the name of the series is Faith That Works. And so, you know, we're in a crazy time. I know I say that every week, right? And but we are. I mean, you know, we've got the coronavirus, which you know, has caused us to shut down the world, basically. You know, how many of y'all used to like to go on cruises? You know, so used to being a key word there. You know, we've shut down the economy. You know, there are millions and millions of people without jobs, more people than we certainly would like. Then you've got this virus going on, and they've politicized treatment of the virus, you know. Early on, they were talking about hydroxychloroquine, and then because of the person that said hydroxychloroquine, everybody came out against it. And you know, they talked about if you take it, you're going to have heart problems. Well, I know people have been on it 30 years, 15 years, no problems. And just this week, the FDA, the head of the FDA said, hey, guess what? It does work. And so, you know, it's crazy why we'd let politics from either side of the aisle cause people to die, folks. We need to pray for our government. And so then you pile riots on top of that. You know, riots have taken over a peaceful protest. We know, Pastor Kathy and I are chaplains with the sheriff's office, and we know that that culture needs to change with police. That, you know, some of them need to learn, maybe take a course, how to win friends and influence people. Not all of them. The ones that come here are very nice. And so, but not all of them are. Usually they're in traffic, right, when they're writing you a ticket, you know. And so, but we know things need to change in some areas. But let me tell you something. Not every police action's a bad action. And this move that we've got going on has been, and the idea of changing that culture has been hijacked by people that want to destabilize our government. And that's what these riots are about. So you got all kinds of crazy stuff. And if you watch CNN, you think the roof is caving on one side. If you watch Fox, the other side of the roof is caving in, all right? And so, you know, it's a crazy time. And then if you go to the store and try and buy, has anybody tried to buy wet wipes, you know, to like Clorox wipes lately? I mean, I went to 4 stores looking for those this week, and the 5th one had some. They were not the brand I was looking for, but it's like, I'll take them, you know, and the cleaning gel, you know. Though it's mind-boggling to me that this many months into this thing, you still can't buy that stuff. It's just crazy. And so I want to ask you, what happens when the systems and things we're used to working don't work? I mean, you know, how should we respond to circumstances that we no longer have control over? I mean, think about it. Those things that, you know, big empty, whole aisles in the grocery stores are empty, right? And so what we want to do, and that's why we're doing this series, Faith Works Even When Life Doesn't, because life is kind of broken right now. But we want to build a faith that works even in a crazy, broken time. If faith doesn't work, it's useless, right? If my faith that I feel in here won't work tomorrow at Walmart or won't work on my job tomorrow, then it's useless for me to have this faith. And so we want to talk about faith that will work. I want each one of us to develop a deeper faith, a faith that'll last, a faith that's not rocked when we go through trials and tribulations, a faith that will give us hope, a faith that will help us through difficult times that we're going through. Somebody will say amen to that. We need that kind of faith, right? Our theme verse is going to be James 2:18. Not, you know, James is not most people's favorite book. He's the half-brother of Jesus. But this is our verse. He says this, but someone will say, one person has faith, another has actions. My answer, James said, is show me how anyone can have faith without actions, and I will show you my faith by my actions. Faith starts in here. Faith is internal, but it's got to manifest itself in our actions, in our words, in our lives. And so that's what he's talking about. And so this whole series is going to be about, for a few weeks, on faith that's in here that impacts how I act and how I feel. And so James wasn't writing to a pandemic, but he was writing to people who were being persecuted. And that's starting to happen more and more. Let me tell you, I was reading about what China's doing right now. you know, you listen to the one side of the media, and they're like, China's this great country and everything. They're killing Christians by the thousands right now. They're putting them in re-education camps. They've gone into every church, and they're tearing the crosses down. And even in approved churches, they're going in. They showed them breaking into a house church. The military did, and they were arresting people in the house church because you can't do that. It's illegal. They are persecuting Christians worse than they did under Mao Zedong. In Mozambique, they've just killed thousands of Christians. India and Pakistan right now is a hot spot. And so persecution's starting to happen. And there are people that want that to happen here when you listen to the media and how they talk about Christians. But James is writing to Christians. He said, this letter's from James, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers. And look what this next word says, scattered. The reason they were scattered was persecution. They were running for their lives. In Jerusalem, and Paul was one of the people that was persecuting them early on. People, you know, I tell people, Paul helped spread the gospel before he was saved and after he was saved. Before he was saved, everybody that was saved ran for their lives to get away from him and shared the gospel as they ran. And then when Paul became an evangelist, he started more churches than anybody ever has and led people to Christ. But they were scattered around because of persecution. Their lives had been turned upside down in many ways, just like our lives have been turned upside down. Many of them lost their jobs, lost their families. A lot of us have lost our jobs, lost resources and stuff like that. Some people have lost family members and stuff throughout this. And so the people in James's day, if they got caught, they lost their lives. And so James is writing his letter to encourage them. And he tells them, you've got to have faith even when it's difficult. So let's look at verses 2 through 4, James 1. He says this, dear brothers and sisters, so he's writing to us as Christians. He said, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I will tell you today, I have always hated that verse. I mean, who wants troubles to come your way, right? I had a girlfriend underline a verse in the Bible when she broke up with me, and it was about trials and tribulations coming your way. And so I guess she thought that was a trial and tribulation. It did. It broke my heart. I was 17, you know. And he says this, for you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And so let's look at this. He said that word where he says, for you know, for you know, it means like if you know certain things, you can handle crisis better. If you know certain things, you can handle COVID-19 better. If you know certain things about God and who he is and what he wants to do in your life, you can handle all kinds of stress better than you can without that. So let's look at that. I want you to write this down. Your first blank is perspective fuels faith. Perspective, your perspective. If you've got this glass half empty perspective, oh, woe is me, the world is coming to an end, the sky is falling in, everything is going to derail you. But if your perspective is that I serve a mighty God, that he is bigger than my problems, then you're going to be able to handle that. Perspective fuels faith. So let's look at problems first of all. I want you to write these down. Problems are inescapable. Problems are inescapable. He says, look, James says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way. He didn't say if troubles come your way. He said when. Everybody say with me, when. When troubles come your way. Jesus even said it this way. He said, in this world you will have troubles. Aren't you glad he said that? Aren't you? Nobody? And Peter said, don't be surprised when troubles happen in your life. You see, one of the things in the Western church that's infiltrated is we think that when we get saved, everything's going to be good. I'm going to be rich. My kids are going to behave themselves and all that. And we know that just doesn't happen. Jesus, he said, you're going to have these troubles. I mean, think about it. All of the disciples but John were killed. Jesus was killed. Paul was killed. So he says we're going to have troubles. We're going to have troubles. The second thing about problems or troubles are this. They're variable. They're variable. They come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, no two troubles are the same. If Troubles were Baskin Robbins, we'd have 31 different flavors of them, maybe more. I don't know, you know. But y'all knew I had to get ice cream in here somewhere, right? And so James 1:2 says this: brothers and sisters, when troubles, and look what he says, of any kind. Some translations will say of all kinds, but of any kind. That means there's different kinds of troubles that come our way. There's different kinds. I mean, their troubles are kind of like weeds. Did you know there are over 400 different kinds of weeds that grow? Some of y'all thinking right now, they're all in my backyard, right? I mean, you know, and so troubles are the same. They're just, everything is different. There's all kinds of different troubles. And so there's many, many different troubles, and none of them are identical. They vary in type, intensity, and duration. You know, we don't have any idea how long COVID-19 is going to last. You know, it almost went away, and now it's back. We have more cases in Louisiana now than at any previous point. Isn't that crazy? And here a few weeks ago, we thought it was going away. The Spanish flu, not to give you any disappointments, lasted 2 years and killed 50 million people. We keep talking about this as unprecedented. It's not really unprecedented. Our reaction to shutting everything down is unprecedented. But the Spanish flu killed 50 million people in 2 years. Imagine that, on top of World War I, which killed 20 million people. That's a bunch of people dying in a short period of time. So problems are unpredictable. They come at you from all different times. So look at, that's number three. They're unpredictable. They're unpredictable. I mean, think about it. They catch you by surprise, right? You don't see a problem and think, oh, I'm fixing to have a problem. Nobody said, hey, we're fixing to have a virus that's going to kill 100 and however many thousand people it is in the United States now. Nobody could have been prepared for that. They're unpredictable. You know, if you think about it, in January, think back to your life in January. Life was pretty good, right? We had the lowest unemployment in my lifetime. And we, you know, in every category you want to look at, low unemployment, median wages were up. You know, when we had a tax break a few years ago, I don't know if you saw it on your paycheck, but the little tax calculation gave me a little bit of a raise. Wasn't much. Could go out to eat once on it. But, you know, I mean, here again, it was, you know, things were going good. And then, boom, in February, what happens? The bottom begins to fall out. In March, everything shuts down. The coronavirus shut down the world. Nobody was prepared for it, not one leader. You know, everybody gets on our president and say he was unprepared. Everybody was unprepared. There's no way to prepare for what happened with this pandemic. You know, and so James said this. He said, consider it your gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you. I want you to underline that, come at you. Challenges, problems come at you. The devil, whether it's the devil or just life, things come at you from all sides, and they're unpredictable. You know, you're not expecting them. So, you know, we got this virus thing going on. And then a man is murdered in public, and so you have protests that begin. And so that was one thing. But then on top of that, that gets hijacked by the rioting that's going on. Two different things. Two different things. Well, justice is going to take care of the men that murdered George Floyd. Thank God. But all this other stuff, burning buildings, burning people's houses, that's insane. And all that started happening. It's all unpredictable. It's all unpredictable. Nobody's prepared. That phrase, come at you, is the same phrase in the Good Samaritan story where it says he fell into the hands of robbers and thieves. We're going along and we kind of fall into troubles. I mean, they just happen to come up on us and we fall into them. And so trouble sneaks up on you. Fourth, problems are purposeful. Problems are purposeful. Every problem has a purpose. You're going through tough times. It's for a purpose. James 1, verse 3 says, because you know the testing of your faith, the testing, we're being tested, our faith is being tested, produces. The testing of your faith produces. Here it produces perseverance. Other scriptures will say different things it produces. But when our faith is tested, we're matured. We're stronger, we're more closer to Christ, and so our faith, the testing of our faith produces things in our lives, produces maturity, strength of character. And James is saying God will use the difficulties in your life, the difficulties we're going through right now, whether it's virus-related or just regular life. You see, on top of all this virus stuff, we got regular life going on, right? And so there's a purpose for all that. But James is saying he'll use that in your life for good. So how does he do that? Let's look at that. There's three purposes of problems. James 3 and 4, 1, 3, and 4 says this: "For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." You know, when I used to run races, obviously that was a long time ago, right? That was actually 45 pounds ago. I've lost some weight during the coronavirus, but you know, I used to run races. And so when we were running 10Ks and stuff, that's 6.2 miles for those of you who don't run, but I had two other guys, and we'd run. There was 2 days a week we'd run long distances, like 10, 11, 12 miles. There was 2 days a week where we'd go warm up for a couple miles, and we'd run about 20 440 sprints to set our pace and endurance. And then we'd run on up and down hills. And each one of those things was designed to increase our endurance for a race, because they didn't run those races on flat land. There'd be a mile hill going up. I told you when I ran the Peachtree Road Race, there was a hill, they called it Coronary Hill. It was a 1.2 miles long going up, and your legs felt like a rubber band that broke by the time you got to that top of that thing. And that separated the men from the boys and the runners from the not runners and stuff like that. But it's the same way here, he said. He said you develop, your faith is tested, you develop your endurance. It's like a muscle. You've got to exercise your faith. And just like when I was running, it does that. So problems, write that down, test my faith. Problems test my faith. And so when you exercise your faith, guess what? Your faith is going to get stronger. But how do you exercise your faith? Problems. Is anybody in here? I did this once. Is anybody in here ever prayed and asked God to give you more patience? Never, ever do that. Because how do you get more patience? Somebody's going to drive 25 miles an hour in front of you in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. Or they're going to cut you off in traffic. Or the Chick-fil-A line is going to be back down to the expressway or something like that. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, you pray for patience, he's going to put you in a long line. You don't ever want to be in a grocery store line behind me. Pastor Kathy always says, you know how to pick them, baby. I will always, it'll look like it's going to be shorter. And somebody's got to be ID'd, they got a bad credit card, they're going through 15. It's like sometimes I'll go, I'll pay for it, just get out of my way, you know what I mean? Just, you know, but don't ever ask for patience. That'll happen. It'll happen. So he's testing us. He's testing us. And this word for test is like the same kind of word used when they're refining metals. You take gold and you put it in a fire and you burn it until you get all the impurities away and you got pure gold. Well, troubles get all the impurities out of our lives. Troubles get all that stuff out of our lives. And so we're in a crisis. And so that's burning and it's purifying us. And we're in a crisis. I mean, they want us to stay home as much as possible. Some people are afraid to leave home. Schools, we still don't know what's going to happen with the schools. I mean, if you look at Job, anybody ever read Job? You know what is amazing to me is we'll get, I don't know, I did this. I was depressed one time years ago, and so I read the book of Job. Don't read Job when you're depressed. I mean, Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, I mean, what a wife. You know, but Job, what happened? He stayed faithful to the Lord, and God replenished him double what he had before what he lost. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. There was a man that worked at a sawmill all his life. And then at the age of 40, what happens to a lot of people later in life, he got laid off from his job. There was an economic downturn in the early 80s. And he was laid off. He was fired. When he got home, he was distraught, and he told his wife about it. And she asked him, so what are you going to do now? In other words, stop your pity party. What are you going to do now? And so he thought about it, and here's what he said. He said, I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do all my life. I'm going to become a builder. And so he put a mortgage on their house that had been paid off, and he started a building business in an economic downturn, all right? Not the best time to start your own business, but he started a business, built two small hotels. And within 5 years, he was a millionaire. That man's name was a guy named Wallace Johnson, and the business that he started after getting fired from the sawmill was the Holiday Inn. He said later on, he said, if I could find a man that fired me, I'd thank him sincerely for firing me. You see, he didn't understand it at the time. But what happened? God used it for his good. And so the first thing troubles do is they test our faith. Problems also develop our endurance. I talked about that a little bit already. They develop your endurance and your staying power. You know, you don't ever become stronger in your faith and develop staying power unless you're wanting to bail out. You know, too many people do that on marriages today. They bail out. If that gets a little tough, oh, well, God wants me to be happy. No, he wants you to raise your children. He wants you to be in your marriage. Let me tell you, if you don't go through troubles, you're never going to develop endurance. You'll never have the ability to handle problems. And God wants you to have steadfastness, staying power, and endurance in your life. So, you know, that's in short supply in our culture today. Most people are giving up. Right now, suicides and overdoses are way up from what they were before COVID because people just don't think it's ever going to go away. I mean, there's no hope. Stop watching the news like I told you last week, right? We need to just turn it off. You've got to turn off the voices of fear. James said this. He said, for you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So problems will develop your endurance. Number three, problems will grow my character. Write that down. Problems will grow my character. Your character is developed. Your endurance develops. Your character, your honesty, your work ethic, your determination, all that is developed when you're going through hard times. James says this, so let it grow, and don't try and squirm out of your problems. Too often we're trying to figure out a way not to go through what we're going through, right? For when your patience is fully in bloom, then you will be ready for what? Anything. You will be ready for anything. How would you like to be ready for anything? You got to let God, you got to let the Lord develop your endurance, develop your character. He said, you'll be ready for anything strong in character, full, and complete. But you got to go through some stuff to get there. Remember Joseph? He went through, he got sold by his brothers into slavery. Then he got, you know, when God blessed him, then he got falsely accused and went to prison. And then he got forgotten while he was in prison. I mean, all these things went on, and Joseph went through, and it grew his character to where it was. There was actually a study done in Russia years ago. And what they did a study on animals. They would take some animals that were in the wild and they put them in an easy living condition. They gave them good food to eat, you know, kept their pens clean and all that. And the other animals were left. They had to go hunt for their food. I don't know how they did this, but it was a hard life, just like normal for them. Well, the ones that had it made actually got sick and died before the ones that were having to go forage for their food. It's the same way with us. It's the same way with us. You see, we get stronger going through things. If you never go through things, we just get fat and lazy. I mean, think about it. So how does God want us to respond? How does God want us to respond, whether it's the COVID-19 or tough time at your job or whatever? So let's look at this. I believe James is going to give us some countercultural responses. This isn't what you hear from the world. So number one is we need to rejoice in the problem. Now, I want you to circle that word in. He didn't say rejoice for the problem. You know, James said, we're to rejoice in the problems. Count it all joy, brother. So, you know, God is, and how can we do that? We rejoice because we know what God's doing. Look what Joseph said after all that stuff. Joseph told his brothers. Now, I told you, I talked about this a few weeks ago. When Joseph met his brothers when they came back and had to buy food from him, he played with them a little bit. As soon as he revealed himself, we all agreed. Their first thought was, we're going to die right now today. But Joseph said this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position. He brought me through everything I've come through so I could save the lives of many people. He had that guy Wallace fired so he could build Holiday Inns. Anybody stayed at a Holiday Inn? You see, what is intended to harm us, God uses for our good. So rejoice in the problem. Write this down. We know that God can bring good out of bad. Write that down. God can bring, you need to remember that. When you're going through a difficult time, when you're worried about whether you're going to have a job, when you're worried about whether you're going to have a job after this is over, when whatever it is, whenever it is, remember, God can bring good out of bad. He said, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. Why? Because God is going to bring good stuff out of bad stuff. There are probably other people, probably people who are hearing my voice that wondered why something bad happened, and then now they're in a blessed position because of choices and the doors God opened for them. We don't rejoice, and I said this a little bit, but fill in these blanks. We don't rejoice for the problem. I don't think anybody needs to thank God, oh, thank you for giving me the virus. No. He said rejoice in it. Rejoice in the problem. We rejoice in the problem while we're going through it because we know that God is going to bring good things out of it. That's why we can rejoice. Romans 8:28, Paul said this, and we know God causes everything to work together for the good of those, circle good of those, who love God and are called according to His purpose. God is going to use everything. When you choose to believe God, everything that's going on in each one of your lives, He is going to use for your good. He's going to bring good out of it. Is it good if you get hurt in a wreck? No. Something good is going to come out of it. Is it good that maybe you've lost your job during this virus? No, but God's going to work something good. Is it good for this to be going on? God's going to work something good. I'm hoping and praying for revival in America. I'm hoping that God's people will stand up, worship Him, turn back to Him, that people who have strayed off will turn back to Him, and we'll see people a big turn back to God. You know, after 9-11, the churches were full the Sunday after 9-11. They need to be full today. Unfortunately, in some states, they're telling you can't have more than 25 people in there, you know. And so we've got to pray because our government is overstepping in the way they're dealing with churches in some states. God causes everything to work together for the good. So when you're in a difficult time like this, listen, you don't just feel joy. Rejoicing is a choice that we make. It's a choice. Rejoicing is a choice. You've got to choose to rejoice. It doesn't necessarily mean you feel like it. You know, David wrote this. I love this verse, Psalm 34:1. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. David wrote that. Sounds good. Everybody sees David as this little sheep herder guy. He was at this time he had several warriors with him, but he wrote this as he was running from Saul. Saul had the whole army of Israel trying to kill David half of the time. So David said, hey, look, I know they're trying to kill me, but I will praise the Lord at all times. I will praise Him at all times, and I will give it. You know, I mean, here's the thing. We've got to understand that. We've got to make that determination that we're going to praise Him and at all times and constantly speak His praises. Saul's trying to kill you. Okay, bless you, Lord. I know you're going to deliver me again. You know, hey, COVID-19 is trying to get you. Well, bless you, Lord. I know you're going to protect me. I know you're going to get me through it. Whatever. Let's choose today to rejoice in the Lord. The second thing is ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. I mean, it's good to talk to people, but we got to pray. Look what James 1:5 says. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. Folks, when you've got a decision to make, when you're wondering, what do I do? How do I handle this? How do I respond? Ask God. If you're in His Word, if you're following Him, He will show you what He wants you to do. Ask Him. He says, ask our generous God. God's not up there going, now I got to let Robert squirm for a little while. No, He's a generous God that wants to tell you, wants to give you advice. Now, He wants you to do what He's saying to do. And sometimes when we're not hearing from Him, it's because he'll tell me, Robert, I told you, you know, and you hadn't done it. You know, and it's like, when you do that, I'll tell you something else. You know, when God speaks to you, He expects us to do what He's telling us to do. And so, but He's a generous God. He'll give you wisdom. I want to ask you, have you asked God to give you wisdom during this time? Or have you been watching CNN and Fox all the time? Have you asked Him what to do during the pandemic or the civil unrest or all this lawlessness and stuff is going on. Have you asked him, what do you do about your job? If you ask him, he'll give you wisdom as to what to do. We just got to ask him. The third thing is simply this. Trust God. Trust him. James 1:6 says this, but when you ask, you must believe. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Now, that word doubt is not talking about, you know, well, I asked the Lord to heal so-and-so, I'm just not sure he'll do it today. No, that's not what that's talking about. That word doubt, it goes on to say, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the sea. He's more talking about, well, I believe in God today, but I don't believe him tonight. I believe in God Sunday through Thursday, but Friday and Saturday night, I'm on my own, you know. And that's kind of what he's talking about. He's not talking about, Lord, I just don't know if you're going to do this for me. He's saying, ask and believe and not doubt. Don't be like the wave of the sea. You believe God's going to do what he says he'll do. Don't have divided loyalty. Believe and don't doubt. Look at Psalm 116. It said, the Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul rest, be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. See, what does he say? The Lord protects those of childlike faith. We got to come to the Lord with childlike faith. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. He said, "You, when you come, you've got to come like one of these." We got to trust God. You know, when you're a little child, when you put your little two-year-old on the kitchen counter and say, jump in daddy's arms, they'll jump because they believe you're going to catch them. At least I always did. My friend Johnny, his daddy didn't always catch him. But anyway, my daddy did. You know, and so I trusted my daddy. We gotta come at God with that same kind of little trust. Like a little child that believes that mama's going to be there when they need them. That believes daddy's going to catch them. You know, childlike faith. Now, trouble doesn't automatically produce good in your life. For a lot of people become bitter and not better. But when you listen to the Lord and when you develop your faith, faith is what makes a difference. And your life will be better than it was before. Fourth thing. Third is trust. Fourth is remember God's promise. Refuse to forget them. I mean, the devil will try and get you to forget God's promises. Do you know there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible? Pastor Kathy knows them all. She's trying to get me to get in a quoting scripture battle with her, and I can't hold up on that one. She's even texted them to me. I mean, you know. So, but look, we never have to face trouble on our own. God's got promises that deal with every area of our life that he's given us. And look what verse 12 said. He said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Listen, remember the promises of God, because when we do, God blesses those. He blesses us. What do you think that is? He's going to reward us. He blesses those who endure testing and temptation. And then afterward, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised. Now, the reason we're doing this series, and I'm wrapping up, on building faith, is that we're going to have troubles in this life. We're going to have troubles in this life. And so we've got to get our faith to a point where we can handle and deal with those troubles. You know, here's the thing. Stuff is going to happen. Problems are going to come our way, whether I respond towards God or respond away. You're going to be miserable if you don't do it God's way. So why not try it God's way? I mean, you know, when all that happens when you're wallowing in all your misery, it just makes people that love you and around you not want to be around you. But you turn to God and you trust God, and you'll be amazed at what happens. So my questions as I close up. We're going to pray in just a second, is will you turn to God for help? Will you turn to God for help today? And then the second one is, will you let God teach you some things as you're going through these problems? You see, if you do this, verse 12 said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. See, there's a blessing on the other side of this. And, you know, some people that, you know, already getting some of that. I mean, different perspectives. These face masks that we have, the lady that made these, you know, we got two different brands, and those ladies are making money off of them. People are selling these things in the mall now. Whoever would have thought you'd be selling face masks on the little middle things in the mall where they sell all that custom jewelry and stuff. Every now this is a what do you call it? It's an item, you know what I mean? Fashion statement, yeah. I think ours look good, you know. So, but here's the thing. God blesses those who patiently endure. He wants to reward us for getting through. So stick with us for the next few weeks. We're going to do this for about three more weeks. I believe as you begin to grow your faith, you'll see God reward you. I want us to bow our heads in prayer.